If you're looking for the best horror, thriller, sci-fi, and WTF audio fiction this side of the apocalypse, then you should listen to The Other Stories. With over 500 stories on the podcast feed already, and new stories dropping every single Monday morning, The Other Stories is your new best friend. Check out The Other Stories today on any and all podcast platforms, or head to theotherstories.net. After all, these aren't the stories your mother used to tell you. These are The Other Stories.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout podcast, where two bearded film fans watch the best and worst horror movies of all time. My name is Luke Condor with Kate, and I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr.
Ben Errington.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Doing? How are you doing?
I'm also doing quite well. Got a bit of a blocked nose. I'm not too sure why. If you can hear that. That right
just
nostril.
Just breathe out of it, mate. Just breathe out of it. Just
closed.
Push it out. When you get a blocked nose, you kind of forget what it's like to not have a blocked nose. And then you think, well, I've not got a blocked nose. I'm not going to take it quite as for granted as I did before.
I've not had a clear nose for a decade. Not in terms, like, I think, because my nose is a bit like angled, a bit weird. And I think there's like something weird going on there.
What's going on?
Because Kat said, like, if she closes one of my nostrils when I'm asleep, obviously she does this. She said, if she like pushes one of my nostrils shut, I'll wake up and like can't breathe. So one of my nostrils is just not functioning.
Yeah, that's not good.
Have
you got like a deviated septum?
I don't know. I remember going to the doctors once. To the doctor about it, and they said, yeah, you need to get that looked at. And then when I went to the doctors for an appointment, he said, yeah, we're not going to do anything with that. So. But like,
you need to get that looked at. Can you look at it? Well, no. I mean, I can, but you need to make an appointment. This is an appointment. A future one. You just need to make a future one.
It seemed like it was just too much hassle for him, I guess. Who knows?
Yeah.
Okay, so how are you doing? Have we got any news?
Horror news this week. So there's a few bits and bobs that I've seen knocking a boot. So today, we officially got a poster for The Haunting of Bly Manor. So that's the sequel series to The Haunting of Hill House. And it says it debuts this fall 2020. So it's adapting Henry James's psychological gothic horror novella, The Turn of the Screw. But apparently, it might include some other bits. Apparently, it's
got
a dozen.
It's got some of the
Turn of the Screw
from...
is only one of a dozen stories they're telling, apparently. Sorry, what was that?
Oh, okay. Got you. I was going to say, it's got one of the characters from the first season, right?
I think it's got a few of the characters. Yeah. So there's some screenshots, and it looked like there's the dad, the drug-addicted brother, and then, but it looks like some of it might be set in the 80s, so it might look like they're taking some of the characters. Oh, no, wait, okay, here we go. We'll all be returning to play new characters, so everyone pretty much. Oliver Jackson Cohen, Kate Siegel, Victoria Pedry, Henry Thomas.
I watched them today. YouTube recommended me to watch Henry Thomas's audition for E.T. Have you seen it?
Oh, wow. No, don't think
it's
so.
It's so good. It's only 3 minutes long. It's kind of recreating a scene from E.T.
And Henry
did he audition to be Elliot, or did he audition to be E.T.?
So he's like bawling his eyes out, and he's acting like crazy good. And then as soon as he's done, Steven Spielberg's like, "Yeah, you got the part, kid." Like, it's really sweet. I recommend anyone who wants a little bit of an uplift.
Henry Thomas, we've discussed that man many a time on this podcast, from Gerald's Game to what else? Many a time, and I've just forgotten.
I mean, that's it.
He's in loads of stuff these days. I saw this bit of news and I thought it was quite exciting, but it's almost like a what if rather than an actual bit of news. Apparently, the directors of Scream 5 wanted to cast Samara Weaving in movie, but it won't work out because of scheduling problems, which is a little bit of a chitter. That's a bummer, considering what success she's had over the last couple of years. The fact having someone who's kind of already a known face as sort of like the leading lady in a new Scream.
Yeah, not only is she like...
Could look perfect as a new franchise. Yeah, go on.
Not only is like she been in lots of these, you know, kind of horror films in the past couple of years, but I see her like in Facebook groups, people always, when she comes up, it's like, oh yes, she is like a known quantity. Like people, I think, will go to watch films with her in now. Like she's...
No, definitely, yeah. I was a bit unsure initially.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely, she's awesome. So that's like kind of what if, bit of a bummer though, I guess. What else? There was a trailer for a new Ridley Scott helmed sci-fi series called Raised by Wolves, which is coming to HBO, which I saw today.
Oh, is that a TV show?
TV show, yeah. Sci-fi drama. So I guess not so much horror, but looks very, very interesting. Androids and sort of like the end of the human race and different planets and various different things. I won't go much more into it, but yeah, looks really cool. Looks really slick and could be very interesting.
Cool. Check that out.
What else? Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot. Apparently there's going to be a reboot. Did you know? I didn't know. So apparently Fede Alvarez is producing it.
He would be a good person to direct it.
That's what I thought. Yeah, as soon as I read this, I was like, oh, is he directing it? Apparently they've lost, the directors have already left. And David Blue Garcia has been brought in to take their place. Not sure what he's done, but when we did get like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie not so long ago, just called Leatherface, didn't we?
Yeah, like I didn't watch it, I don't think. Did you watch it?
I mean, I didn't see that. Bit crazy that this is kind of happening. Oh wait, I've just thought of another thing that I thought we should probably discuss.
I would like to see the Fede Alvarez Texas Chainsaw Massacre. I think he's got that brutal kind of way of making things look like they really hurt. Like in
Yeah.
It always looks really painful.
So I saw this headline a couple of days ago. That there's going to be a planned theatrical reboot of The Exorcist. I don't know if you saw this knocking about anywhere. In the works for 2021.
Reboot?
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be a remake or if it's just going to be a movie in the same, I don't know.
A remake boot.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's not much else about that apart from that. And then like the reaction to it, which I saw a lot of on Twitter, people will leave the bloody classics alone. I mean, there's probably no need to do
like Suspiria, people were saying similar things, and now it's out. They were like, "No, it's pretty good actually."
It's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah,
this is the thing. It's one of those things where if it comes out and it's bad, it's like, "See, I knew it should have happened." Yeah. If it comes out and it's good, it's like, "Well, probably worth it." Because a lot of people say the same thing about remakes, which is bad films should be remade. But then I'm like, "Yeah, but there's not enough of a draw to a bad film to then have a remake of it be successful." It's the big, successful, well-known films that get remade because they're going to draw a bigger audience, I guess.
You can't win. You can't win.
Can't win, mate. But that is life. That is life. And the only other thing I thought we should discuss, because it's got some horror themes, I guess, is the trailer for Matt Reeves's The Batman, which debuted at the DC FanDome this week, along with loads of other stuff. Suicide Squad stuff. Wonder Woman 84 games, loads of crazy stuff.
When I went to send me the other day, they played the trailer for Wonder Woman 84, whatever it's called. Not this new trailer, but the other one. And I was like, this music is amazing. That you know, it's
at the end of the trailer, it says coming June 2020, and I go, oh.
yeah,
the music is like, it's just What is it? It's how does it feel like that?
But it's done like super epically. I don't know. It's
It's got like a cinematic, like it's got a cinematic remake with like orchestra and strings and loads of stuff.
My head along. In cinema.
I wasn't sure what we were going to see of Batman. Obviously, there was a like a treatment / logo revealed a few days ago. But apparently, only 25% of the film has been shot at this point. Obviously, production was halted earlier this year. So it seems like a really well-rounded, sort of fleshed-out trailer, considering this 25% of the film has been shot.
Well, now that you said, because I was like, it's a pretty cool trailer, but there doesn't seem to be any set pieces. But maybe that's all the kind of stuff that will get filmed later on.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know about initially I was like, oh, Nirvana just felt a little bit like, don't know if it's suited.
I think it's going for that 90s vibe, because it's got the sort of Seven thing going on. It's
definitely got the Seven vibes, definitely got like the psychological thriller vibes. Felt like, to me, very year one Batman, though apparently it's year two of Batman, so he's been around, so he's obviously got a working relationship with the GCPD at this stage. But yeah, I guess it all centers around Robert Pattinson as Batman, and when he absolutely beats the living hell out of somebody.
Yeah, I saw a lot of backlash about him looking very emo and young and that kind of thing. But I don't know. I think he'd be fine. I mean, there's been so many Batman at this point. There's no point in being precious. There'll be another one in a couple of years. So.
It is like that. And I just love all these characters. I love this world. So no matter what it is, game, film, TV show, animated TV shows, like I'm always hyped to delve back into that world and see someone else's take on these characters, you know, because obviously we've seen so many versions of all these characters now. Now it's just like, right, what new can somebody do that still kind of feels classic? And one of the things obviously is Colin Farrell as the Penguin. Which just seems kind of mad, doesn't it? It seems kind of mad. Because obviously he looks nothing like Colin Farrell. I guess you could only identify him by his dental records if there was an accident on set. So yeah, this all looks good. I'm sure it'll be great. I love the fact that the logo's in red and that there's lots of red in the film.
Yeah, was the year one graphic novel quite red?
The cover was red, wasn't it? I think the rest of it was black and white. I think it was black and white. There's a lot of striking yellow as well.
Yeah,
but the fact that Robert Pattinson in year one, obviously the Batman's quite slight. He's like a whippet of a man. I guess Robert Pattinson looks a bit more like that. And I mean he's complete opposite to the bulking brick shithouse of Batfleck.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, if you look at like Conor McGregor fighters like that, they're brick shithouses, but they're kind of, you know, very small, like live brick shithouses.
Yeah, wiry, and just
shit brick houses.
So I'm very interested. Obviously, Matt Reeves, the Planet of the Apes movies, which are great. So should be really interesting to see what he does with this. And the Riddler, you know, I just keep forgetting. When I was watching the trailer, I was like, oh, yeah, the Riddler's in this. Oh, yeah, and Catwoman. Oh, yeah, and Penguin. Jesus.
Yeah, Paul Dano as well. He's pretty much fantastic in everything.
Paul Dano, yeah. I think he will be very great. And I just already like the little voiceovers with the riddles.
Yeah, what was the riddle? It was...
What does a liar do? No, what does... What does it say? What does a liar do when he dies?
Yeah.
He lies still.
Yeah.
I think that was the answer. He lies still. I think I just saw a lot of people work it out from the little from the little code matrix thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited, pretty hyped for that. There we go.
Also, just quickly, the James Gunn Suicide Squad thing. I'm quite excited about that. I like it when James Gunn is being irreverent. Like, with Super, I'm hoping this is more punky and more irreverent than Guardians of the Galaxy, even though, you know, I do love that film. But I'm kind of I would like to see James Gunn doing, going back to like Sliver type of like a
yeah.
a funny, good horror movie. In the same way I'd like to see Sam Raimi do it, and the same way I'd like to see Peter Jackson go back to his sort of horror roots. There's something mm-hmm. quite interesting about, because Sam Raimi, when he went back to Drag Me to Hell, that worked so well.
It would be nice. I mean, sometimes these directors go like full circle, don't they, when they realise they've exhausted certain other genres. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, Suicide Squad looks mad. Looks like they've sort of pulled every small character from the Suicide Squad comics. Everyone who's, some of them seem pretty mad. Some of them I've never heard of.
Yeah, quite a few I've never heard of. I've never really read much DC stuff.
I've read a few Suicide Squad volumes, but not loads. Cool. Have you, so you said you've been watching a lot of movies.
I've watched tons.
A lot of movies.
I mean, I just quickly picked some out. So Wish Upon, which was a movie that came out a couple of years ago, that is about a girl who gets like a Chinese wishing box or something. And this is a bad film. I mean, it's almost like it's almost watchable because of how weird the characters sort of are and the way they talk to each other. So the idea is that you wish for something and then you pay a blood price. Someone dies, someone close to you dies, that kind of thing. The thing is, like, when this girl realizes that terrible things are happening, like, she just continues to use it as if, like, there doesn't seem any lessons learned in it at all. And it's got some ridiculous dialogue. There's a guy who, what do you say? They're talking about multiverses for some reason. And then he's like amazed that she knows what a multiverse is. Says something like, you dig on multiverses? As if that's like a hobby. Yeah.
You're suddenly hot.
Rewatched Mandy. Which again, it's we watched it quite late, and I was really struggling to keep my eyes open at the end, just because it's such a slow, doomy, grungy film. But it is great, and I do really like it. It's just at that time a struggle.
I wouldn't mind watching it again, because I've only seen it once, and I think I saw it around about when the hype train was fully engaged. So it'd be nice to watch it again with a little bit more of a open mind. I remember enjoying it though.
Yeah. Rewatched Dave Made a Maze, just because I got the Blu-ray, and I really enjoyed that film last time. Watched it quite recently.
I still need to see that. I really should get around to it.
I mean, it's just a low budget, fun, really inventive film. Like some of the stuff they made. Like I watched the making of. I've talked about this on the show before, but it's about a guy who, his girlfriend's away for the weekend. And when she gets back, she finds that like a mass of cardboard boxes in the living room and her boyfriend's inside. And it's like inside like a labyrinth. It just gets weirder and weirder as you go deeper inside. But I watched the making of, and they used like a ridiculous amount of cardboard to make all of the stuff. Yeah, like it's unbelievable. It's definitely worth watch. Carried on with my Sion Sono exploration and watched Love and Peace, which is about a guy who wants to be a rock star, who has a pet turtle, he flushes the pet turtle because he gets bullied about it, and then his turtle goes into the sewers and starts growing into a kaiju-sized monster. The more he grows, the more success he has, so he becomes like a rock star, and then at the end is like a kaiju turtle, and Santa's in it as well. It's an insane film.
What's this called?
Love and Peace. By Sion Sono. Been watching more of Werner Herzog, so I watched Aguirre, The Wrath of God. In about three parts, because I don't know. I was watching it too late again. Kept falling asleep. I just find it really weirdly peaceful. Like really, really like calming.
The Aguirre, The Wrath of God. That's the one set in... this with the really distinct looking leading man, isn't it?
Yeah, Klaus Kinski. So it's the one where he...
What has Klaus Kinski been in?
Nosferatu. Fitz Corral, though. I think Nosferatu is probably the one. He's a really weird looking guy.
Very weird.
But this is the one where he threatened to leave Yeah, like Spanish conquistadors looking for El Salvador? Yeah, they're looking for somewhere the gold is or something.
El Dorado,
that's the one, yeah. So Klaus Kinski like threatened to leave or walk off the set like 3 weeks into filming, and then Werner Herzog threatened to kill him.
Yeah.
He like threatened to murder him. So then he stayed. Yeah. And then watch Splice. But what about you? Oh, I saw Inception yesterday as well, but everyone's seen Inception.
So I went to see the 10th anniversary screening of Inception as well. It was nice to hear the on a big screen. Oh, actually, is that just in the trailer, actually? I don't know if it is.
I think it's just in the trailer. It's a good film. I mean, I picked up more this time watching it than I did previously.
It's a great movie. So yeah, I've watched a few things, but I don't know if I'm pretty sure I haven't talked about them on the podcast because I haven't watched anything for a while. So I watched The Monster Squad this week.
Is that the last week actually? 80s, 90s film.
So that's like the 1987. So it recently turned what? It was his birthday recently.
Yeah.
It came up. I saw on Twitter, film Twitter, kind of going crazy about it being his birthday. So I watched it. And I watched it with my daughter because I've kind of been introducing her to horror films that are still kind of like kid friendly. But
yeah.
It got about halfway through and she was like nuzzling into my armpit. I tell that she was a little bit scared.
Yeah.
I think it was the Wolfman more than anybody else. So there's actually a pretty good transformation with the Wolfman where he's in like a phone box. And it's pretty gruesome. Like, obviously, the mummy, the Dracula, the Frankenstein's monster, they're all kind of basic looking, standard, what you would expect.
Like Universal Monster looking.
But the Wolfman was pretty damn effective.
It's weird the things that you remember, because I've not seen that film since I was a kid, but I remember loving it and watching it over and over again. I remember something to do with, like, takeaway drinks. Like maybe someone gets like a pea, they use it the straw of the pea shooter, or they're like, oh, he does a spit take. Someone does a spit take. Wow, that's a weird memory to pluck out of nowhere. I haven't thought about that for like 30 years. Someone does a spit take in that, like a genuine.
Yeah.
They're drinking a drink in the.
Wow. I can't remember. Like, honestly, can't remember. But the thing is, because I was kind of watching, but also trying to like maintain Megan's like fear, okay. Like, just, are you okay? Is everything all right? You're not scared of this bit? You can hide from this bit. And I also had to explain to her what a virgin was, because there's a lot of talk of virgins in this film. They need a virgin to break this curse.
Yeah, but they're all kids.
Megan's like, what's a virgin? Yeah, they're all kids, so they get like one of their sisters to, because it needs to be a young lady. Megan was like, what's a virgin? I just said, someone who hasn't had a baby yet.
Well, there you go. Yeah. You're not wrong.
I used to watch it so much as a kid. It was still pretty scary. It didn't kind of blow me. It wasn't like I had a massive nostalgia trip with it. I was kind of like, yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the only other thing really I've seen, because I've been watching some TV shows, but nothing worth talking about in this podcast, really. I did see An American Pickle, the Seth Rogen HBO Max comedy. Fish out of water style comedy where a guy gets pickled and then wakes up 100 years later, goes and meets his great grandson. It's a really, really silly film, but like it knows how silly it is, so it doesn't at any point feel like it's taking itself too seriously. There are some really good gags that I laughed out loud at least 3 or 4 times, so that was good. Maybe in like the final act, I kind of lost interest a little bit, but other than that, it was solid. I liked it. And really the only other thing I've watched is Splice, because I've just had a couple of busy weeks where I've not been watching quite as much stuff as usual. And in fact,
Project Power, that new Netflix film.
No.
Okay,
I haven't seen that yet. I've added a few things to my Netflix list.
I have beat it. Don't worry about it. Don't bother.
don't bother. So I haven't actually seen a film in 8 days, which is probably the longest I've gone without watching a film. Definitely this year. Who knows what's going on, mate? Who knows? But I'll break the record tonight. I think I've got Interstellar lined up for tonight.
I've not watched too many horror movies, so I'm getting that sort of hankering to just blitz through a load. Probably get back and show this soon and do a round of horror movies.
I'll do a big old round I've still got some on my list for this month that I need to crack on with. I saw Peninsula has been released, so the sequel to Train to Busan. But I think it's in like US and Canadian cinemas, and I guess it's in Asian cinemas as well. But yeah. I don't know anything about a UK release yet. I've been kind of having a look about. So if anybody does know anything about a UK release, let me know, because I'm gagging and gasping to see it.
Yeah. Cool. So, and then Splice, which came out in 2009, which I was quite amazed to see. I thought it was way more recent than that.
Yeah, I think I was the same. Yeah, it didn't feel. And have you seen it before?
Yeah, quite a while ago, around 2009.
Around 2009. I think I've only seen it once before, and I guess it was around about 2009, maybe a little bit later than that, because I don't think I remember seeing it at the cinema. Okay, so Splice is a 2009 science fiction horror film directed by Vincenzo Natali, starring Adrian Brody, Sarah Polley, and Delphine Shinyak. The story concerns experiments in genetic engineering being done by a young scientific couple who attempt to introduce DNA into their work of splicing animal genes, human DNA, sorry, into their work of splicing animal genes.
Yeah. IMDb 5.7, 76% of Rotten Tomatoes, critic score, I think the user score is like 36, Letterboxd 2.6. I don't know, I get the feeling that this film isn't held in, you know, that much favour.
Yeah, it's kind of weird though, because when I posted that I was watching it on a few social media, well, mainly Twitter, I think, few people said, oh my God, I used to love this film, or oh my God, that film's crazy, or that film's sick, something along those lines.
I think it's a film that just pushes certain buttons that some people are not comfortable being pressed.
Yeah, I think it's pretty memorable for some people though. I think there's obviously a specific part of this film that a lot of people remember. Can I just mention one thing about this film, which kind of blew me away? I don't know if you noticed this. And that was Adrian Brody's wardrobe. The wardrobe department for Adrian Brody went ham. It was like a cross between Jared Leto in like mid-2000s, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Yeah.
Especially with the hair. Slash like, maybe like
astrologist?
Ricky Wilson from Kaiser Chiefs. Yeah, astrologist. What's his name? Brian Cox.
Brian Cox. I was getting Brian Cox vibes.
So he had like, at one point he had a lab coat astrologist. With like it's patches astrologer. On. Astrologist. He's avoiding them astrologists, isn't he? Like, what's his name? I can't remember anyone's name today. So he had like a lab coat with like patches sewn on. He had like a waistcoat over a t-shirt at one point. He dressed like me when I was 19 in a lot of these scenes.
Yeah.
Like when I was kind of like into indie music, but also metal music. And I couldn't quite decide which look I wanted to go for.
Which stride.
Chains hanging off things. Yeah.
God. Here's a horror movie. Did you watch the new Corey Taylor song, music video?
Hell yes. I sure did.
The one that came out like today or something.
Oh, what? The Black and Blue?
Yeah. Is that came out today?
Is
or
it like a ballad? Or oh, is it?
I could not the stand MFT. It. Yeah. No, it wasn't the anthem type one. It was the ballady one.
Oh, no, I haven't. I haven't seen that one. I've seen CMFT and kind of obsessed with it. Initially, I was like, nah. But now I'm like, yeah. I mean, it's way too long, but...
It feels like a wrestling entrance music song.
Definitely, you know? Yeah.
But this new one is like... I remember Corey Taylor ripping the piss out of Nickelback at one point in time. This feels like his apology.
Oh.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. It does seem like he's just gone crazy, off the end of the spectrum, off the end of the cliff, into just anything. He's just doing anything. It's like, doesn't matter what genre it is.
Yeah.
To be fair, Stone Sour has been a bit wet on occasion.
Yeah, I only listened to like the first couple of albums, and I didn't really follow from there.
I think he's always kind of had that in him.
Yeah.
Maybe it's like an outlet.
Bother is like, you know, the Stone Sour Mellow song, but that was good. That was very good.
That was about someone who died, wasn't it? So that was, if it's a bit wet, you're kind of like, yeah.
It was like
other wet songs, just like, I love you so, just shit like that.
Yeah. So what were we saying? I don't know. People
like this place.
Film. Oh yeah.
People like this film, yeah. And I think I've always kind of thought, oh yeah, it always feels like, oh yeah, that's one I definitely want to watch again. It's a very strange one. It kind of devolves by the final like 15 minutes into a completely different film.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
It's a very strange one.
I get that it's a sort of a Frankenstein movie, but I don't remember Frankenstein ever having sex with a monster.
Well, is that in any of the sequels?
I don't know, maybe.
It's got some really weird themes. Like, obviously, it's just some really weird themes because it feels like there's a lot of themes of like parenthood.
Yeah, that's the major one. Like the whole like bringing up a baby and the struggles with your other half when you bring it going through those times,
playing like obviously there's stuff like playing God and stuff, but when it kind of takes this particular turn, it is quite a sinister turn where it makes me see a character that I've seen in one light, almost as like the good guy in this film, because Sarah Polley's character is a bit like, she's a bit unhinged and she's taking the risks and
doing things that's gonna
really affect them, and treating Dren like an actual child.
But she goes like Kathy Bates at one point, like she but like it kind of comes out of nowhere. I don't know.
It's a weird one. It's an unsettling one, and it's a bit like dirty.
Yeah.
It's a bit dirty because I just kept thinking, even though Dren in this instance has grown into an adult, how old is she really?
Oh god, because I didn't think about that.
Only been around for a few months. Yeah.
Oh god. Yeah.
But yeah, so it reminds me a bit. What's the Greek myth where someone has sex with their mum? I can't think of words of anything tonight. It reminds me a bit of that, but like I guess flipped on its head in a way.
I don't know. I mean, what's his name? What's the director's name? Natalie.
Vincenzo Natalie, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, so Cube was the big one for him initially, I reckon. And that's a cult, that's a firm cult favorite film. Like it's solid, it's cuboid, it's got like
it's cuboid.
The gore gags, and it's like a really sort of an interesting cool movie. This probably, I mean, I get a sense that he likes making like more cool films, like it seems to be more his bag. After this, there's also In the Tall Grass that he made,
the Stephen King adaptation,
which I didn't think was, I felt like was really messy. The more I think about it now, this film feels kind of messy at times. It seems to not quite know what it's doing. Like Cube was solid. Like I struggled to think of anything wrong with Cube.
I feel like Splice needs another character. It needs a character who's like, you know, like kind of like their boss, essentially. You've got their boss and then you've got like the other guy who's kind of like overseeing things.
The brother.
It needs
What if they had another kid already? And like that kid was like,
yeah,
you know, if she was like looking after the her little baby sister or whatever, there could be like
I think it needed like a true antagonist, like a true character who was there to either mess things up or kill Dren, like when it came down to it, or like really really get to the bottom of it. And you, as I said, you kind of had a character who was like that, but I think it needed a bigger threat.
Yeah,
because it felt like obviously the threat was coming from within this sort of like family unit, but I just feel like it needed something else. It felt like something was missing.
I know what you mean. Yeah. So, I mean, so who we got? So, Adrian Brody and Sarah Polley play these two scientists, Clive and Elsa. And they work, I mean, I'm just kind of pulling this out of thin air. They work for some sort of big pharma company that needs to make certain drugs. And the way to
you
get
know what the company's
drugs...
called as well,
nerd, right? They're called
the company's called nerd.
Nerd.
Nucleic Exchange Research and Development. It's like, could you not come up with something else? Nerd.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're obviously doing various experiments, aren't they, to try and develop certain proteins that
it's interesting that they went
be used
to make these proteins. We need to make tongue monsters. We need to make like these weird organs.
Blob men.
Yeah.
Turds, living turds.
Yeah. I mean, how did it start? So, it says Fred is a, what are they called? The tongue monster things.
I think they're called, so here it says vermiform, which is something that's shaped like a worm, but it's like a dog-sized vermiform creature intended as a mate for their female specimen who's called Ginger. So obviously they've spliced various animal DNA to make these hybrids, which are going to be experimented on and used medicinally to make these proteins, which are used to combat human viruses and diseases, I guess.
Yeah.
So it obviously, but then there's an initial bit where they kind of introduce Fred and Ginger, and these are these kind of weird blobby things, but then these weird tentacle/tongue odd things come out, and they, what do they do when they kind of touch? They say they're
shake hands.
They're shaking hands. What do they say they're doing? They say like, oh, they're
I don't know. They're not mating, are they? I don't think.
Copying, patterning, doing something weird.
Okay.
And I kept thinking, like, I probably misremembered this film, but I was like, one of those is going to rip everyone into shreds. And I was like, oh, no, not yet.
Yeah, when that does happen, that's very gory. I do not remember it being quite
that explosive. Brutal.
Yeah.
Absolutely brutal.
I guess it's just big sacks of blood or something, so.
Yeah. It's pretty terrifying, though. I was scared. I'd be scared if there was a creature like this.
Yeah.
Milling about, a living turd, which had like a weird spine. It's got like a weird spiky thing that comes out, isn't it?
Yeah.
I like it.
So they're doing quite well. I think they are the best at making vermiforms, I imagine. And they were like, we could make better ones with human DNA, but they're not allowed to because it's unethical. And is at that point, I think they're saying we're going to leave and we're going to go independent.
Expressing your love can look many different ways. And with the right jewelry gift from Blue Nile, it can truly sparkle. Blue Nile's collection of classic diamond jewelry makes for the kind of gift that speaks volumes without saying a single word. Or switch things up with a sapphire piece sure to spark conversation. Either way, Blue Nile's diamond guarantee ensures you get the highest quality at the best price. Express yourself with Blue Nile, the original online jeweler, at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Or something, but we can't because all their research is tied up with nerd. But then I guess they just make, I don't know, what do they do? Elsa just makes, she starts a new batch.
Yeah. So they start essentially pursuing their own agenda in private, developing like something. And there's like it's just like them doing all the science. Quit, do this over there. Whoa. Yeah. Oh, I've done that quality bit of science. He's doing that bit of science over there. We're both doing a bit of science.
Bit of science. It's like montage. A lovely
montage. That's the word I'm thinking. I can't think of words tonight, Luke. You're going to have to help me. It's going to draw my brain. Montage. There's a lovely science montage where I think, doesn't Clive say something along the lines of, nah, you can't be doing that, Elsa, and she kind of just goes ahead and does it anyway. Like, they've basically made, they've done something's worked, and they're like, right, we're going to put this into an egg. We're going to inseminate an egg with this thing.
Yeah.
And Clive's like, nah, can't be doing that, can't be doing that. But Elsa's just like, yeah, fuck it. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
She's like, we won't make it go full term. We'll just see what happens. See what we've created. Like, you never know. When you press the button, you never know what's actually going to come out. It could be anything. We'll just see what happens.
yeah. And then what happens is, it's like a black amniotic sac, and this thing is sort of growing within it.
In a fish tank. Yeah.
And they're kind of trying to hide it. I think they're going about the job as per normal. There's one bit where, this is a bit later on, but we're introduced to Adrian Brody's brother, who's got the same hair.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like they've gone, right, these guys look nothing alike. How are we going to make the audience know that they're brothers? Let's give them exactly the same Jared Leto 2005 30 Seconds to Mars haircut, and then people will know. Yeah. There we go.
Well, it worked. Weird. It worked. So the thing comes to term like really, really quick. Like within a couple of days.
Accelerated or age.
Yeah.
It just ages real quick. Like a what? Tamagotchi? Do they age quick? I don't
know. I think they age quicker than people.
Yeah.
There's one point where it's like being born. And what's the name? Shoves a hand in there. I can't remember why. I would not be shoving my hand into some nondescript creature.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of, it like grabs onto her or something.
Mm. Little moped going by. Pizza delivery on its way to you.
Grabs her hands. It's trying to shake her hand. Look, these things love shaking hands. And she's like, I don't want to shake your hand. So they kind of cut it out. There's like golden syrup in there for some reason. They're like, we've made golden syrup. It's a byproduct.
Very complicated way of making it. Yeah. So yeah, this thing kind of looks like the thing from Life. Did you see Life?
I like that film. I think that was pretty good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
It was good, and it had a very, very scary monster. And it kind of looked a little bit like that, this did. It was just a bit... blobby, a bit clear and flappy. Best way to describe it. So they get it out and they kind of, then they think it's like died at one point, but then it's kind of like split out of what is like a cocoon and something, a creature has come out in there. And the only way to describe the creature that comes out is like a kangaroo.
Yeah.
Like kangaroo legs with like a little kiwi body.
Yeah.
And a funny little,
that reads
weird, flat face, rodent like face,
very rodenty, flat. Yeah,
very rodent,
hairless and pink,
very freaky. I was proper freaked out by this. It was just running around, smashing into things, wobbly, and like the wobbly legs. What was it like when a calf is born?
Bambi legs, yeah,
Bambi legs. That's it, that's what I meant. And it's just like slipping around on ice, going mental. And obviously, they do want to, they're like, all right, we're gonna kill it, we're gonna gas it. Adrian Brody's like, I'm going to gas it. We've gone too far. We've created a monstrosity. I'm going to gas it. But Sarah Polly.
I mean, if you looked at what he made before with the vermiforms, I'd look at them and go, they need to be dead.
Yeah.
This thing looks like a Pokemon. Like, they could sell these to kids.
Yeah. But they would. It'd only be a few weeks before it's a horny woman.
That's my first... Yeah, we have to put him down before that, obviously. Yeah. Like people get micro pigs, but micro pigs end up massive.
Yeah, exactly. They don't end up micro forever, mate. No. Couldn't be micro forever.
So this little thing, they give it a name, Dren. I can't remember why they do that.
It's neared backwards. So obviously, like a little bit later when it's grown a bit more. I don't really know how long it's been. So obviously Adrian Brody was going to gas it, but then Sarah Polly takes off her mask and says, don't gas it, we're gonna let it grow a bit, see what happens. She's just so curious, she just wants to see what happens.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's growing quite fast, and when it's more humanoid, it's wearing like a little kid's dress, which is weird. It kind of just looks like a normal girl with a slightly flat sort of symmetrical weird face. And it happens to have a tail and kangaroo funny legs. But yeah, they name her Dren because she spells out nerd after seeing the letters on Elsa's shirt. And she kind of just looks it upside down and says, we'll call her Dren. I'm like, give her a name a little bit more thought than that.
Dren. Why would you call her Dren? That's not a good name.
Lazy, isn't it?
Yeah. She doesn't talk. She's getting smart, this little girl. She doesn't talk, but she kind of like chirps like a bird.
Chirps, coos.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very freaky. So I wasn't that freaked out by Dren at this point, but it does take a turn where you do think. So basically Elsa is forming like a motherly bond with Dren, where she's like reading her stories before she goes to bed. And I guess her like intelligence is growing at such a rate as well. But all this time they've kind of been neglecting Fred and Ginger, and they've got to do like a big presentation of their work at some like, what is it, conference slash, it's just like a presentation about the vermiforms. And while they did a presentation with all their superiors around, and obviously I guess investors and everyone in the front row, and that they bring Fred and Ginger out, and just before they're about to like bring the glass down, Clive's like going, keep the glass up, don't, there's something wrong.
Yeah.
And they just rip each other to shreds, and it's pretty horrific.
You
very,
can't even
very
see what's going
bloody.
On because it's blood splattered against the glass, and then it knocks over and explodes.
Yep.
And like everyone in the first, like it's like a theme park ride. Like they're in a splash zone. Everyone in the first three rows gets completely covered in blood. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it is brutal. And obviously their boss is utterly fuming, as you would be. but I guess what they failed to notice was that Ginger had spontaneously changed to a male. So obviously something.
They kind of look like nut sacks. So how... I would always assume they were I would always assume they were male, I guess, by looking at them. You'd never know.
When you look at a nutsack, usually that's a male nutsack.
It's a female nutsack.
These guys. That's a female nutsack. But yeah, so obviously quite a savage end for Fred and Ginger, one that was like pretty terrifying. I'm surprised they kind of get to keep their jobs. I think they do, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, they've probably got lots of YouTube views or something. They must have monetized that or something. Who knows? But yeah, that's if I did that in my job, failed to notice something turned male, killed
two else. Two Max attacked each other.
Yeah.
Just ripped each other to shreds. Like,
so all this time, like they're bringing up Dren. And as like we said before, there's a vibe of parents going through the motions of bringing up a child. They're struggling to feed it. It has a temperature at one point. They're teaching it chess or Scrabble or something. lots of this kind of thing. And there's one point in particular where she's really ill. She's got high fever. And then Adrian Brody shoves her into a sink full of water. Obviously he's trying to kill her. I think he's like, the experiment's gone too far. This has to end now.
Yeah, destroy our creation now.
But she can breathe underwater. She's like amphibious. And Sarah Polly's like, you did know, didn't you, that you weren't trying to kill any? And he like, this is like the most obvious, like, of course I knew.
And he's got a gun now, just loading it.
I think, she's also bulletproof, I think.
Let's test to see if her brain's bulletproof, because I'm pretty sure it's bulletproof.
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Oh. Yes, that's pretty brutal. But then we kind of get quite another big jump where they like move to this farm, don't they? They take Elsa there. Is this around about now?
Yeah, it's Sarah Polly's old farm where she grew up.
Which she didn't tell Clive about. He's like, you didn't tell her you had a farm? And she's like, wow. Didn't think you'd be interested, mate. Seems like all you're interested in is splicing DNA and having the same hair as your brother. Yeah, we do. It does look good.
Those are my
hobbies,
Splicing my hobbies. And having a hair of my brother.
it's a lot of upkeep.
So there's a lot of like character development that's just kind of shoved in there for Sarah Polly's character. like there's this farm and there's a bedroom where there's like just a mattress on the floor or something, and he says, I thought you said your mum didn't change anything, and she says she didn't, this is how my life was. And he's kind of trying to bring up this whole broken mother-daughter vibe from her, which I guess just to introduce the concept of her, of the stuff that she starts to do to Dren, or her relationship to Dren. I don't know if it really works completely. I don't know. It feels a little bit forced to me.
It does feel a bit forced, yeah. And yeah, it didn't quite hit home, and it was kind of stuff that I guess I wasn't particularly interested in either. It didn't feel like enough, yeah. I guess.
It feels a bit like when you have a plot in mind and you're trying to fit the characters into the plot rather than, you know, working with the characters and sort of making the plot around what the characters would naturally be like and naturally do. It feels like he's trying to force them to go through these steps and character traits to just so they can sort of introduce these things that happen later on, like the tail maiming scene. I think they were like, oh, that'd be a crazy moment. Let's kind of force that into this character. I don't know, it felt like that to me a little bit, but
yeah, because some of her actions don't necessarily feel like her character would have been capable of them, because the fact that she kind of starts off as the most caring, motherly one, and then she ends up basically being the one who's like, we need to kill her.
Yeah, but very quickly.
Pretty quickly. It doesn't feel like a change in her attitude that was earned, I guess.
Yeah. Like, if they did go back to that later on, and have, even though, you know, she's turned into a killer, and then she was still protective of Dren, I think it would kind of make more sense there. But I don't know. She's flip-flopping a bit too easily.
Flip-flopping. Yeah, so Dren is obviously starting to show sort of dangerous behavior, like she kills an animal when they first get to the farm, and then later on there's a bit where she kills a cat. She like stings it. Does she sting it and then like eat it, or what does she do? I can't remember.
She likes it at first, but then Sarah Polly takes it away because she's worried about her having this animal for some reason. But then when she gives it back to her, Dren kills the cat as a sort of defiant act, I think. Because she's stuck in the house all day, stuck in the locker.
Yeah, so she's definitely getting bored. Like, she wants to go out, doesn't she?
She's not got a PlayStation. She's not got a phone. What do you expect?
She's just like, I'm dead bored. I ain't got a bloody clue what's going on here.
Yeah.
Had enough.
Adrian Brody comes back and he's like dancing with her at one point.
Yeah, there's some weird bit where he's dancing to like, what is it, like jazz from the 20s or something? Again, I was thinking he'd put on 30 Seconds to Mars, Hawthorne Heights,
maybe some mosh pit in the
Funeral for
shed.
A Friend, something like that. That's what he'd put on. There's no way he's into jazz.
Yeah.
There's no way he's into jazz. She looks at him, she's looking at him with that hair going, jazz, really?
Yeah.
So yeah, he's having a bit of a dance with her, and she's kind of, you can see this, like there's like a doe-eyed look in on Dren's face, which is kind of like, you could tell she's starting
he's like, did we put doe DNA in her? I don't remember.
That's what explained the Bambi legs as well.
Oh, yeah.
Doe eyes, Bambi legs.
So
yeah, she's obviously starting to develop some sort of admiration for Adrian Brody's character.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's a weird one. So initially it's like father figure maybe, but then obviously very soon we realize that she wants to have it off with him, essentially, which is a bit.
He notices as well, he's like, your eyes are quite far apart. Wait, Sarah put her DNA in the mix.
Yeah, that's was that how he worked it out? Was it just by looking in her eyes? I can't even remember.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that didn't quite make sense to me. I was like, what? So obviously Elsa used her own DNA as the human side of when they spliced things.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're playing God, you're going crazy, what are you doing? It's almost like, it's a weird one, isn't it? Because they can't have kids, can't they? They don't ever say, we can't have kids.
They never say that. They're not married.
No.
They're just mates.
This does seem like the behavior, like if they established early on in the characters that they couldn't have kids, and now Elsa was using her own DNA to create like a human-animal hybrid, it would kind of make more sense, and those themes of parenthood and stuff would kind of have a bit more impact. But the fact that they can just have kids, but they just went, we're kind of lazy. We just want the kid to grow up straight away. Can't be dealing with the with the night feeds and the all that stuff.
Terrible twos. We want more like terrible, terrible 2 minutes. And then on to the next.
More like terrible 2 minutes, but that was our work as well.
Yeah. So this is, I mean, this is the moment really where I think it's going to put a lot of people off or put a lot of people on to the movie.
You like, never know. People might be into this. People like this. People might be like, so this is what I'm into.
this is who I am. I finally know. Oh, hello, sailor. So Adrian is into it for some reason. And like into the idea of being with Dren now. And then Sarah, they have an argument. Sarah disappears for a bit. I keep calling her Sarah. Can't remember her name.
He removes, not long after the cat kill, she removes Dren's stinger as well.
Oh, yeah, there's the maiming thing, yeah.
And then she like uses that stinger to somehow synthesize the protein that her and Clive have been studying, researching for this whole time. So she's like, finally, we've made some progress. But
bish, bash, bosh.
At what cost?
Yeah.
So in the Wikipedia explanation, in the Wikipedia plot, sorry, it says Dren overwhelms Clive with pheromones before they get down to it.
I did wonder about that, but I'm not too sure if it's sold in that. Maybe it's supposed to be a little bit open, but I don't know. Maybe that's true. It's not obvious. Yeah.
I didn't necessarily think it was necessarily that. I just thought Adrian Brody has just gone full pervert.
Not the character. Adrian Brody.
Adrian Brody. It's almost like, first of all, it feels a bit not like him in terms of what we've established as his character. The fact that he would cross over that line of not only science, but I guess they're like a family unit. That's what feels kind of strange. It feels like they're a family unit and everyone's kind of losing control in their own ways. And the fact that he does this, unless it was more obvious that he was pheromoned.
Yeah.
Then I don't know how I feel.
I think this should have been like she should have a little trump of pheromones or something.
Yeah. Well, she should have, I don't know, something should have happened where he kind of went.
He's like, is that me? Oh.
I think it does a hell of a lot to completely dislodge any like feeling for this character.
I think
all bets are off now, just kill him or whatever, you know. You kind of feel like
a little plume of gas.
A little plume of gas.
He kind of hovered towards her like she was a pie.
But then the awful moment is that obviously Elsa catches him in the act.
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
That is proper embarrassing. That's like beyond embarrassing. That's like Jesus Christ, that's awful. Of all the times that could have happened.
How could you? I mean, he doesn't even seem that bothered. And I would, you wouldn't be able to look at her again.
He's not making excuses for it. He kind of he chases after.
He never mentions the pheromones once.
No. You'd go, pheromone! I got pheromone! And then he chases after her and drives away. And in my head, he's got his trousers around his ankles. I don't know if he has. Has he got his trousers around his ankles?
I hope so. He kind of slips into the ice, boner first, as she drives off.
He's definitely the kind of guy who wears skinny jeans as well, so I imagine he had quite an issue getting them up. Like, wait, I'm going to run after
him. He was running after the Bambi legs. He slipped on the ice. Yeah. And,
I don't know. It feels like a bit of a wrong turn for this film to take, but maybe it needed to because...
I think you're right. I think if it was more evident that he got pheromoned, it would make more sense.
Yeah. They'd be like, oh, what else is this terrifying beast capable of? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Again, just a little... We were in VR the other night with Skip, and I think it's sometimes easy to forget that you're in VR. And you're like, he's like, oh, who farted? He was like, obviously at home alone, not actually in the room with anyone else.
Oh, right. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Did that.
So then, so they go back to the lab. Things are going to work out okay for their jobs because they've made the protein.
Mm.
Although I think the boss is suspicious. And, Adrian Brody's like, look, I'm I did what I did. But you maimed her, and then she seems to suddenly realize, oh, I maimed essentially her daughter.
There's a lot of stuff here where they're talking about Elsa never wanted a normal child because of her fear of losing control. And she's just like, she wanted to raise one as an experiment to see if she could have a child and then eventually, yeah, actually have a child.
Just get, like you said, Tamagotchi. Just experiment with that first.
If you like it. Nintendo.
Nintendo. Yeah.
If you like it, have a baby. Get Sims on the go. So now I think around about this point, they just realize we've taken it too far. We need to kill Dren. Poor old Dren. And around about this point, like one of their superiors has discovered that there's human DNA in the samples that they were given.
They say they're going to just kill Dren. Like, they decide. Really? That seems more harsh.
We need to kind of kill him.
Anything previously. They're like, yeah, it's gone way too far. She's now a fully grown adult who's got her own feelings and emotions.
And loves jazz.
Likes jazz. Now it's time to kill her. That's weird. Yeah.
It's a bit weird. But yeah, her superior turns up at the barn with the brother. And he's like, yeah, I've brought him here because, you know, we just need to stop. But then Elsa says that Dren is already dead. That's right. Because around about this time, they like find her and they think she's dead, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
They think she's dead, so they bury her.
Happened but
she wasn't dead. She was just metamorphosizing.
Into that guy from Prison Break.
with all the prison like plans on his back.
I meant the other one. He looks. Well, she looks like.
Oh, the other one, like the brother. Like
a bit of both, actually. Yeah, she looks like the third brother.
He looks like the vampire in Blade Trinity.
Yeah, Dracula. He plays Dracula.
Yeah, that's it. Dracula. Oh, yeah, he does. Oh, Jesus. Was it Blade Trinity? Or Blade Trinity, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Remembered that. So, this final part of the film just turns into like a monster movie where there's a flying Jeepers Creepers-like creature swooping down, taking people off into the darkness, killing people.
It's like a right brute. Like taking people like off. Right. With standing knife on one end and a lager in the other.
Come on. So he like kills that Barlow. He kills Barlow and the brother.
Is he got Barlow? That must be a Dracula reference.
Gary Barlow.
It must be a take that.
Whatever I said, whatever. Get out of it, Gary. And then it rapes Elsa, doesn't it? It's weird that this bit isn't quite kind of remembered as like the key, one of the key moments in this film, but it does like rape or at least try to rape Elsa.
Well, it does because she has the baby at the end. She has the
oh yeah, what I'm talking pregnant. About. Forgot about that as well.
So Dren has sex with both of her like parents.
Jesus,
it's strange. I mean, have you seen that film Predestination? Oh, I can't talk about it actually because it's a great film. And this would be a massive spoiler to even suggest. Okay. But that's a great film. That's a great film.
Is that the Gaspar Noé film?
No,
I'm thinking of something else. I'm thinking of the one in the alleyway.
Yeah, I've not seen that actually.
Monica Bellucci. What's it called? Can't remember. Anyway, so. Yeah, so Clive like attacks Dren to save Elsa, but then Dren and like Clive are having a bit of back and forth. But Elsa tries to intervene. She's about to kill Dren, but she hesitates, doesn't she? And Dren kills Clive.
Yeah,
stings at the arse.
Yeah, one final shot up the arse.
One final sting at the arse.
Yeah,
that's for doing me and I'll do you. And Elsa does kill Dren. How did she kill him?
Smushes
rock on the head.
Smushes
the later. Yeah. And then the sort of final part is, so Elsa gets informed that Dren's body contained numerous compounds which the company has managed to develop into various things, I guess vaccines, etc. So Dren's existence and death wasn't for nothing. And then Joan offers Elsa like some money, like a, something to sign and some money.
For the baby or something.
And then Elsa stands up and it's clear that she's up the duff, got a bun in the oven. What else?
Yeah. And then this one's like, is it a girl or a boy? She's like,
is it a girl or a boy? Well,
wow.
Could be either, could be both, will be both. Yeah. And then that's it. And Elsa accepts it, which sets up the much more exciting and action-packed Splice 2.
Apparently there was going to be a Splice 2. Is that? But it never happened or something. I mean, definitely didn't happen. But someone was saying that there's supposed to be a sequel.
Oh, well, there we go.
Okay, some trivia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. First question for you. Where did Vincenzo Natali first get the idea for the film? It's a famous science image. And then he was like, ooh, Splice.
Ooh, a famous science image.
Yeah, you'll know what I mean.
Is it that one with the guy like that and all the arms and the legs?
Not that one.
Is it...
Think of a lab experiment with
Dolly the
things being spliced. That was a good guess, but it's like that. It's
Dolly the cloned sheep.
Think more spliced than
think more cloned. Spliced.
I'll give you one of the animals in the splice.
Oh, a liger.
Oh, no, that's another good guess. All right, there might be a lot of these. It's the mouse with the human ear growing on its back.
Oh, yeah. Good times. That's my favorite. That's my favorite science. That's my favorite science. What's your favorite science?
Is that what you do at home sometimes? My favorite one to do at home.
That's my favorite song. Let's get an ear on it. Get an ear on a mouse.
Get an ear on right it. Now. It's like a get home. It's like a kid's home Hasbro box set.
Yeah. Did you hear about that man who grew a penis on his arm recently?
On purpose?
What this is true. So a man, a little bit of a side note, but a man lost his genitalia. The sepsis, I don't really know what happened. So a severe sepsis infection caused the loss of his genitalia, and he's the first man to have a bionic penis grafted onto his arm.
Wait, why is
it? Basically, it's growing on his arm.
Why is it bionic?
I think...
What's going on?
I don't know. Yeah, why is it bionic? It says bionic like that. Why... Maybe it's like, oh, it's
and if it's bionic, why does that have to be on his arm first? Can't it go straight on?
So he's elated...
Intended so elated did they miss?
To have a chance. Says he's elated to have a chance at a new start, and he hopes it would boost his self-confidence as well as enable him things, simple things to do like go to the loo, because currently he hadn't had a piss in 10 years. He's like,
well, what can he go now? He's got one on his arm.
Well, I guess they're going to graft the penis onto his body, onto his genitals.
It's already
eventually.
On his body. There's so many things I don't know about, like what's going on with this.
Anyway, this experiment. Is true. This is the plot. This is the plot.
This wasn't included in the home science kit thing.
No.
Dry ice, ear on mouse,
ear on mouse, penis on arm. It's all interesting stuff.
Okay,
can't wait to see what we get next.
So this and what other
penis on mouse? Sorry.
This and what other Dark Castle films? There's we're verified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. There's not that many Dark Castle films. This and which of a Dark Castle film were verified fresh?
Any of the ones that we've discussed recently?
Well, don't know.
Jesus. Verified fresh. I can't even think of any. The only ones I can think of are 13 Ghosts, Ghost Ship, and House on Haunted Hill. Any of those?
Do you want the answer?
Is it any of those? 13 Ghosts. 13 Ghosts is my guess.
The answer is none of the Dark Castle films were verified fresh. This is the only film that's verified fresh. The other ones are all verified rotten.
Verified as rotten. Have you been verified as rotten? You have now.
I was thinking maybe Orphan. That's a Dark Castle film.
That's another one I need to see. Again.
Yeah.
Need to see again. Okay.
Number three. What turned grey during the shoot?
What turned grey?
Filming. Yeah, something turned grey.
Was it Adrian Brody's Jared Leto hair?
Close. It was actually Vincenzo Natali's hair turned grey during filming. Apparently it's because it was such a grueling shoot.
Jesus Christ, imagine that. I'm off to film Splash. I'm off to film Splash. See you later. And then walk out the door and come back.
You walked out like Brian Cox. Came home like the other Brian Cox.
Yeah. Absolutely mugged off.
Yeah. So number four, can you name what animals were spliced with Dren? What animals were in that mix?
Thinking about this earlier. So it was got to be a frog. There's always a frog, isn't there?
No.
Something amphibian. Not amphibian.
Well, there is something amphibian, but...
Lizard.
Close. It's quite a salamander. Yeah.
Salamander. Anything else?
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other things. So you've got salamander. Right now, it's just 100% salamander. You need to dilute it with other...
Kangaroo?
Yeah.
It was actually kangaroo.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of joking because of his weird legs. What else? Moth? What's the wings?
It's not actually that specific with the wings. It's just a whole type of animal. What type of animal has wings?
Insect. Bird. Yeah, Bird.
Yeah. Of all the animals that fly, we...
Yeah. I told you my brain's not working today. My brain is not... I hope this is just temporary and I don't wake up tomorrow and I'm the same.
Keep going. Okay. In fact, there's a whole other type of animal. This is one that is underwater.
Fish.
Yeah, fish. There's a whole other type of animal that runs.
Runs. Rabbit.
Gloat.
Hare.
Bigger.
Cheetah.
Bigger
than that.
Horse. Big. Yeah, horse. Okay, you got two more.
A horse. What were they playing at? are some of these needed? That's like, what's a horse adding to that?
Maybe that's the where the butt head thing comes from. I don't know. Where's the butt head coming from?
Is there anything like insect wise?
No.
No.
That'd be too fly, I guess. Too much fly. So there's two more.
Are they both mammal?
One is a mammal. The other one is a fish. Another kind of fish. We already have fish. So I don't know why.
Octopus.
Well, it's along that line. It's like it's not. I mean, there is a Squid. Fish. It is a fish, but it's different enough. Oh, think about the stinger. There you go.
Jellyfish.
Close, but not quite the right kind of stinger.
Stingray.
Yeah, stingray, yeah. And that's the last weird. One.
This is mad. I'd just be like looking at their notes going, what are you playing at? What is this? This is mental. Why is this good? And what's the last one? Sorry, a mammal.
It's a bit of a trick question. The last one is human.
Could have been guessing. I was going to say gorilla. yeah, that's mental. Like, you look at that list and you go, this is bizarre. What are you playing at? Cancel this research right now. You're going to create something horrible.
And I mean, if you were going to make one, if you were going to make a splice, what kind of thing would you put in there?
A man and a horse, centaur. Okay.
It's so spliced,
you spliced to such a degree that it's got two bodies. When you think about it, it's not like half and half.
Just one like, man and one horse. Look at
it's just 80%. But if you think of a centaur, it's a whole horse except for the head, and then and then like half a human.
Yeah.
So it's like it's mad. I like the idea of it. A centaur.
I don't think it'd be quite that evenly spread. I mean, I think you've got to get dog, cat.
Yeah.
Perfect animal. Like, you just need, like...
Cat dog. Remember that cartoon?
Yeah, I don't know. They had no bums. So, yeah,
definitely. Here's a good question for you. If we're thinking about having sex with spliced animals...
I wasn't thinking that.
Well, we discussed it. I know you were thinking about it, especially with a cat dog. Think about how would a centaur have sex? Because the horse would, like, mount something. But then the human body would be, like, all the way over it. Just kind of...
Have to hold a magazine. Just have to read the magazines. Lead him
right back. Yeah. I don't think anyone wants to have sex with a centaur.
No, I don't think that's true. I'm sure there's like a ton of people who really do want to have sex.
I'm gonna have a little look on Reddit.
Adrian Brody, we know what he's into.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He's into everything.
Yeah. Okay, so I need to break the film.
Should I go first? I'm going to go first. Yeah.
Sure.
I didn't like it as much as I expected to, because I kind of held it quite high in quite high regards in my head before I watched it again. It's still enjoyable. It's still kind of creepy. This is the thing, we haven't really spoke about it in terms of it being a horror movie, right? This is kind of just a weird sci-fi thing. But I guess it only really gives horror
movie in the Frankenstein sense.
But I think I'd have to only go for a C plus, I think.
Okay.
I can't go any more than that.
Yeah, I was going for a C as well. I don't know. I would definitely stick this on over other films. Like, it is quite an interesting film, and the visuals are quite well done. 2009, I think some of the special effects, now thinking about it, are quite good. Like the face and the way they sort of, her eyes are so wide apart.
Yeah.
I don't know how they did that. And it's interesting enough to sort of watch and sort of be kind of grossed out at times and be into on that side of it. But I don't know if it quite comes together as a good movie. It doesn't quite work, but it is a very interesting one. Yeah. So I go with a C.
Very nice. What did I say? C plus.
Yeah.
We'll C sharp. Let's leave it at that. C sharp.
Cool.
Cool. Nice one.
Right. Do we know what we're doing next?
Well, we've still got a couple that we were going to do that we still need to kind of tackle. So I don't know how do you feel about doing Fright Night? That was one of them on the list.
Yeah, I like that film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I don't.
That's a good shout. Maybe you don't. We'll have a little look.
Yeah.
Yeah. As I said, I made a little list of stuff that we kind of still, some classics that we still, well, classics, but you know what I mean, that we still haven't covered. So there's still a few on that list.
Yeah.
Fright Night's one of them. So should we do that next?
Yeah. Sounds good, man.
Very nice.
Cool. I'm up All for right. It. So if you enjoyed the show, please consider becoming a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Kalman for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating and reviewing. And come join the Facebook group or any of the global advisors. And thanks for going.
Thank you very much, Lee. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Next time.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.